Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, we've been talking about that great event that's coming any moment. It could happen before you walk out the doors here. Instead of going out the door, you might go through the ceiling. What are we talking about, boys? What's that great event we're talking about? The rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints. And we've been asking the question so we can learn all we can about the rapture in the time that we have, asking the questions who, what, when, where, why, and how. We've asked the questions who and who's involved. And we've asked the questions what is it? What is the rapture actually? When will it take place? Not a date on the calendar, because I can't point to a date in the calendar. It's called imminent. Anybody know what imminent means? It could happen at any time, but it's not required to happen at any specific time. Imminent. It has been imminent since the time of the first century. The rapture has been imminent. It could happen at any time. The Apostle Paul, when he writes in 1 Thessalonians of that event, he writes expecting that it could happen in his lifetime. When? It's imminent, but it will happen before the great tribulation, the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period. Where? We asked the questions where. We finished that last week. Where will these events take place? And the big takeaway from last week, the big takeaway with regard to where, is, that I want to point out is the location where Jesus makes his descent. Because if you get it mixed up, understand that in the rapture, Jesus comes to the air. But at the second coming of Christ, after the tribulation, Jesus sets foot on the Mount of Olives. Actually comes to the earth. And if you get that mixed up, if you don't understand the difference, and you don't compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll think of one event where Jesus comes, returns, and it's after the tribulation, and you'll have a false eschatology. You'll have a false doctrine of a post-tribulation rapture or something along those lines. So that was the takeaway. The biggest takeaway last week was where. Now let's talk about why. Why the rapture? Why not just do what... Why doesn't God just do what many think He will do, just wrap everything all up at one event at the end, and everybody resurrected together, everybody judged together, just the end. Just one day, the end, that's the end of it. Why not? Why a rapture? Well, let's talk about that today. And number one, I want to say this. It is to fulfill God's plan for the ages with regard to the first resurrection. There's more than one resurrection. There is more than one resurrection. It's not going to be like many of our Protestant friends say it will be, that just everybody's raised all at once. No, there's the first resurrection and later resurrection. God's plan of the ages with regard to the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and let's read verses 20 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I can tell it's brighter because I don't need my glasses to read my Bible at the pulpit here. I will put it farther away. 1 Corinthians 15, start at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That's a statement, not a question. He is now risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What's that mean? And several times in the Scripture, Jesus is regarded as the first, talked about as the firstborn from the dead, the first fruits of the dead, first fruits of the resurrection, here first fruits of them that slept. What's that mean? Jesus Christ was the very first person to rise from the dead, never to die again. Other people had risen from the dead. Jesus himself raised Lazarus from the dead. But after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus. because he was a witness to Jesus Christ's resurrecting power. Now, it's not recorded that they did kill him, but he lived a normal life and died again. Other people had risen from the dead, but they lived a normal life and then died again. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, not in a normal body like you and I have today, like Lazarus had when he came out of the grave, not in a normal, but in a resurrected body that will never die again. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept because he's the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. He's not the only one, but he's the first one. The first one. Let's go on. We were in verse 21. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Did you pick that up? Death entered into this world by a man. Who was that man? Adam. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Death entered into the world by Adam, by one man. And so the resurrection had to come by one man. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Verse 22 explains it. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every person on this earth started this life a descendant of Adam. You know who your parents are? You like making family trees, genealogies. You find it in a family Bible, you find a record, you know, who your parents and grandparents. And most of us can't trace it very far, or at least in our memory, we can't go back very far. I can go back as far as my great-grandparents, just from memory, and then I have to resort to documentation. If you were able, if there was enough documentation and you were able to trace it back, every single one of us went back to Adam. And because we are descended from Adam, we are coming to this world in Adam. That's what it says, as in Adam. Well, what's it say about as in Adam? As in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. All are subject to death. All are headed for the eternal death, the lake of fire. But in Christ shall all be made alive. So every single person on this earth started out in Adam, but some of them have changed their family affiliation. They've been born again. They've been adopted. They've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. So you're either sitting in your pew right now, you're either in Adam or in Christ through faith in him. Verse 21. But every man in his own order. Now this is talking about the order of the resurrection. The entire point of chapter 15 is the resurrection. Every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So at the rapture, everyone that belongs to Christ is resurrected. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Oh, I love that verse. So, there's an order. Every man, notice verse 23, every man in his own order. There's an orderly process. Wouldn't God keep his own rule? Let all things be done decently and in order. Wouldn't God keep his own rule? There's an order. There's an orderly process for the order of the resurrection. Who will be resurrected when? There's an orderly process, and much of that is revealed to us in the Scripture. And so that's called the first resurrection. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20 to see that. Revelation chapter 20. If we were looking at a timeline, we start Revelation chapter 20 at least 7 years after the rapture, at the end of the tribulation period. So at least 7 years from today, if the rapture were today, Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So for 1,000 years, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. So this is people who came to trust Christ during the tribulation period, did not worship the beast, and were martyred. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection is includes all of God's people prior to that 1,000-year reign, the millennial kingdom. Let's look at it on a chart here. And you have this chart in your notes if you picked up the notes. I don't know how much of that you can see. So let's talk about the first resurrection. Number one, Jesus Christ rose from the dead 3 days after he was crucified and buried. He rose from the dead. If we were to turn to Matthew, we'd find when Jesus Christ died, there was an earthquake. And there were some stones shifted out of place. And then when he rose from the dead, some of the recently departed believers also rose from the dead. They rose with him. And they went into the city and showed themselves in Jerusalem. And so they're part of that first resurrection. Now it's nearly 2,000 years later, and could be longer. Could be today, or could be who knows when. The rapture will happen. The church age saints, those who trusted Christ in that period, will rise from the dead. 7 years after the rapture, at least, the tribulation martyrs will rise from the dead. And also at that time, according to Daniel chapter 12, the Old Testament saints will rise from the dead. Did you catch that? We, who know Christ as Savior in this age, will rise from the dead in our glorified, resurrected bodies before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will rise from the dead. Before Moses will rise from the dead. Before Adam will rise from the dead. We will rise from the dead. Isn't that interesting? And not just interesting, but throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, you find little tidbits of ways that believers today have some advantage over Old Testament believers. They got saved the same way by grace through faith, but we have an advantage over them in many ways. And one of those is we will rise from the dead prior to them. So we will be raised before them. And then we're not told exactly when the millennial saints will be raised, but they're not part of the first resurrection. Then there's a resurrection in Revelation chapter 20 of the unsaved to face the great white throne. So let's just go through that let's look at Daniel 12. Daniel 12 verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. He's the archangel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. What time of trouble is that? What's he talking about? The tribulation period. That said, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was before. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble because of its relation to Israel. End of verse 1. And at that time, thy people, Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. So now, they've been delivered. It's the end of the tribulation. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the Old Testament saints will arise at that time. And Daniel kind of includes the resurrection to death, but we understand from the Revelation that actually happens after the millennial reign. And we read that in Revelation 20, verse 4, that everyone in the millennium will be resurrected at the end of that. So that's the order of the resurrection. Now, in Revelation, John writes, blessed is he which hath part in the first resurrection. So the first resurrection began with Jesus Christ and will include all through, I would say the millennial saints who died during the millennium will be the part of the first resurrection. The second resurrection is a resurrection unto damnation for the great white throne judgment. Any questions before we go on? Why? Why is God doing it that way? To fulfill his plan for the ages for the first resurrection. No, everybody's not going to be raised at the same time. God's got a plan. God's got an orderly fashion for how the resurrection is going to take place. The rapture is a major part of it. Okay, here's my next question. Why? The rapture. Why make a big deal out of it? Why have I been teaching on this for 6 weeks now or more? However long it's been. I don't know how long it's been. Why are we spending our Sunday school hour talking about this? Is it really that big of a deal? Why make a big deal out of it? Brother Pat, you got an answer for that? Because we're going home to be with Jesus. Isn't that a big deal? Why? Why are we making such a big deal out of this? Why? Don't want to step on anybody's toes. We had a lady here that actually asked that question and visited for the first time during Sunday school and said, you know, why are you making a big, basically said, why are you making a big deal out of it? Well, we're making a big deal out of it. Why? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the main teaching on the subject, and let's see some things in there. Why are we making such a big deal out of it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 13 and read through the end of the chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant of these things. Pardon me. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, precede, or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why are we making a big deal out of it? Look at verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Why are we making a big deal out of it? Because we're not to be ignorant about it. We're not to labor under some false understanding or lack of understanding about it. We're not to be ignorant of these things. This is, when Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's God that would not have us to be ignorant. We're not, and prophecy and future events, there is such ignorance among professing Christians. So many Bible teachers ignore it. So many so-called preachers refuse to preach and teach on it. So many denominations don't even include it in their statement of faith, don't ever teach on it. You could sit in some churches that might give you the gospel, but you could sit there 20 years and never hear the teaching you've heard the last several weeks during Sunday school. Never bring it up. Even in gospel preaching churches sometimes. Never bring it up. And some of that's maybe reactionary, because there's some people that always bring it up. Well, we need to always bring it up. We're not to be ignorant of it. Look at Revelation. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians and look at Revelation chapter 1. Notice verse 3, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a blessing attached to studying prophecy. We're not to be ignorant of it, and there's a blessing attached to studying it. We can't afford to ignore it like so many do. Revelation, that's in the first, the opening words of the book. Look at the closing words of the book in chapter 22. Verse 7, Jesus repeats himself. Revelation 22:7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Why do we make a big deal out of it? Why do we teach on it? Why do we spend time making sure that you understand it? We're not to be ignorant of it, number one. And also, there's a blessing attached to the study of it. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Why are we making a big deal out of it? Why do we even care? Why don't we just try to live like Jesus and live our lives and whatever happens, happens? First Thessalonians 4:13 again, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So an unbeliever dies, and his unbelieving family has no hope. They think maybe there's a heaven, and maybe they'll see their loved one in heaven, but they don't know. They think maybe there's a happy hunting ground or whatever pagan idea of an afterlife they have, and maybe they'll see him there, or they have no hope, and they sorrow and grieve with no hope. But we have this teaching here, and it is our hope. Titus 2:13 calls it our blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is our hope. Why do we make a big deal out of it? Because I want some hope. Every once in a while we need to be reminded we have a hope. Three deaths this week in connection with this church. Three families and extended families and friends that need hope. This is our hope. And it's not just hope like, I hope it don't rain tomorrow. This is our confident expectation. That's what our hope means. This is our confident expectation. We will see them again. Everyone who's trusted Christ will have a meeting in the air and meet face to face and be able to spend eternity together with them. This is our hope. And not just with them, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. Jesus died and rose again. Raise your hand if you believe that. Is that a big deal to you? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This is as big a matter as the resurrection. If you believe in the resurrection of Christ, you got to know about this other resurrection that's part of it. This is as big a deal. The resurrection of Christ has been under attack by liberal denominations and liberal churches for over 100 years now. Some of them go as far as say he didn't even die on the cross. And it's not, I don't even understand. It doesn't even make any sense to, you know, they're saying he didn't die. You know, he swooned. He went into a coma. Is it so hard to believe somebody could die on a cross? An instrument of torture that was designed to kill? It's not his death that they're doubting. It's his resurrection. Because if he didn't die, then he didn't rise from the dead.
It's also more interesting that the most famous man on the planet walked around maimed and scarred for life and nobody noticed.
Right, yeah. Limping. The resurrection's a big deal. Verse 14 says, if we believe the resurrection, then we have this belief as well. This is as big a deal as the resurrection. Why do we make a big deal out of it? Well, it's as big a matter as the resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Well, why do we make a big deal out of it? It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of God. God gave it to us to know. How many of you want to know the word of the Lord? I want to know the word of the Lord. That's why we make a big deal out of it. That's why week after week we've been studying this. Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Devin, I want to give you some comfort, but I don't know anything to comfort you with, because I didn't study this. I wish I could give you some comfort, but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. What did Job call his three friends? Physicians of no comfort? Was that it? Or of no value. That's terrible. It's our comfort. Why do we make a big deal out of it? Because we have to comfort one another with it. We got to understand what's going on so that we can remind each other. Boy, there are times through the grief and through the tears that in your mind, you're not thinking about this. And you get confused. And the cloud of grief clouds your judgment. And somebody comes along and says, hey, they're going to rise again, and so are you. See them again. Hey, Jesus is coming. Amen. Hey, I know this world is getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I know things are getting bad, but you know that all that tells me is Jesus is coming. Amen. That's our comfort. Why do we make a big deal out of it? Because we need comfort. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. That's the question why. And we could ask other questions about with regard to why. But why? The rapture of the church. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? How? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to rush. I'm going to try to finish up on time today. And if we finish today with the rapture, what do you think we're teaching next week? But we got 7 years in between. So, invite your friends and countrymen. Matthew 22, look at verse 23. The same day came to Jesus, the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. Okay. And during the time that Jesus walked the earth, there were different, if you will, denominations of Judaism. Okay? The Pharisees were the strict, and they interpreted the Bible strictly. They knew there's a resurrection. You know, there is such a thing as angels. You know, and so the Sadducees, they were the liberal wing of Judaism. They were like Methodists or something, you know. Yeah. They said, you know, just interpret it spiritually. Just there's not really angels, just things happen and, you know, it's an accident or whatever, and we can attribute some of it. You know, people just made up angels to try to understand things that they couldn't understand, you know. And there's not really a resurrection of the dead. People aren't really literally going to rise from the dead. So that was the Sadducees. That's what they taught. So they said, there's no resurrection. They came to him and asked him, verse 24, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren. Boy, this sounds like a crazy story already. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. So, a guy married a wife, he died, she hadn't had any children yet, so his brother, his oldest brother took her, he died, she hadn't had any children yet, so the next in line took her, he died, she hadn't had any children yet, so the fourth one said, I don't think I'm gonna marry her, she's bad luck. But the law said, marry her anyway, so he married her, and all seven of them died, no children. What are the odds of that? She's a bad cook. Verse 28. Therefore, in the resurrection. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read that the Sadducees believe there is no resurrection? Why are they asking him this question? To try to trick him. They're trying to show how absurd they think resurrection is. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. By the way, if you don't know the scriptures, you will err on a regular basis. Nor, here's what else you don't know, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So he puts them to silence, quoting the scripture. The scripture said, long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead, God says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Well, he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. They are going to rise again. But notice what he attributes the resurrection to. Verse 29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. How will the rapture happen, which is our resurrection of believers in Christ? How will it happen? By the power of God. Amen. By the power of God. I'm going to skip through a few of these here, but I want to point out who has resurrection power. First of all, God the Father has resurrection power. David wrote in the Psalms, and others wrote in the Old Testament, that God would raise him up from the grave. And then I want to point out, turn to some of these places. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 21. This is Jesus speaking, God the Son speaking. We see in the Old Testament, God the Father has resurrection power, but look at God the Son. For as the Father, verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Who has resurrection power? God the Father has resurrection power. The Son, Jesus, has resurrection power. Turn to John chapter 10. This is probably my favorite verse. And you have these notes. You can look all these up, and I'd encourage you to do so later. For the sake of time, we're only turning to a few. But look at John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, Jesus speaking, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. But I lay it down of myself. Now watch this. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In the next chapter, John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, but here he's claiming he has power to raise himself from the dead. Who can raise their self from the dead? My goodness, this is some power here. And look at John, or let's go to 1 Peter 3:18, the last verse in your notes. Who has resurrection power? God the Father has resurrection power. Jesus Christ, God the Son, has resurrection power. 1 Peter 3:18, who else has resurrection power? First Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, raised up, made alive by the capital S Spirit. That, the other verses, the Holy Spirit has resurrection power. Now, why am I pointing this out? These are just, and there are so many subtle hints. There are direct verses that give us the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Godhead. There are direct verses that give us those. But a lot of those direct verses are removed from the modern Bible versions. But even in the modern Bible versions, there are these subtle hints that they forgot to remove or they overlooked. God the Father has resurrection power. Jesus Christ has the same power. The Holy Spirit has the same power. Who could have that power that's not God? So, how will the rapture happen? By the power of God. By the power of God the Father, by the power of God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just the same way that the earth came into existence. God said, let there be light. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did he do that? By the agency of his Son, Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Who else was involved? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in the creation with creation power, all involved in the new creation with resurrection power. This is important to understand. Jesus has the same power as the Father. The Holy Spirit has the same power as the Father. So, even without the direct verses that teach us of the three persons of the Godhead, we still have these subtle hints. If we compare Scripture with Scripture, they are of the same power. And that's the power that will raise us from the dead when we hear that trumpet sound at the rapture. All right, we're out of time. Don't have time for any questions or comments. Next week, Lord willing, during Sunday school next week, we will begin with teaching the events that happen after the rapture.